All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's The Usual Suspects, people. We're here, you're here. Hopefully, your day just got a whole lot brighter. The sun is shining. Everything looks better than it did a day ago. And Nick and Barry and myself are going to take you all the way till 4 o'clock till we turn it over to the Blitz.
It's crispy outside.
Man. Nice.
I like it.
It's right.
I love it. It's perfect. If we could get this year-round, I'd be super happy.
I told Nick, one of the unsung aspects of weather like this that I'm a huge fan of, it brings out chicks in tights and boots.
I'm a big fan of yoga pants.
Yoga pants, the fake leather pants, or the leather pants.
Now, when I tried to wear leather pants yesterday, you said no.
Well, you and Le'Veon Bell can get your colors straight, and you can wear your leather pants on your own time. I'm talking about the females that wear them.
All right, correct. Now, what if I wore yoga pants? Would you be good with that?
No.
Yesterday at the gym, there was like three dudes wearing tights. I'm like, bro,
no it's one a new wants thing.
Shorts over them?
No.
That's awful.
No one wants to see that.
Really no one, awful.
And also, the instructor was demonstrating the deadlift, and he's wearing very tight sweats. And, you know, when you deadlift, the bar is basically junk level when you get when you get upright.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, come on, bro. Like, he was like, so you just – and you come here. I'm like, you're just – forcing us to look at your junk at this point.
He's exposing himself.
It's mashing his stuff and the bars on it. And I'm like,
did he really say so you come here?
All right, good night. That's our show. We'll see you guys tomorrow. That's it. We're done. No more. Yeah, I was like, bro, you literally could have worn any other pants today. You knew we were going to be doing deadlifts.
Well, if you saw him in those pants, I would assume he's normally wearing those pants when he's at the gym.
That's probably true. He's like, you know, any chance to show off my junk is a good day. So,
yeah, there's the guy at our gym out in Sugar Land, too. He's an older dude. He's, you know, he's obviously works out there every day, right? So he's in good shape.
Yeah.
But he's tan.
Is he hot?
No, he's hot? Tan. And he either wears the running shorts that are cut all the way up the side with no tights underneath.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's the vulnerability of something happening that way. And then when he doesn't do that, he's tights with no shorts over it guy.
Oh.
And then he wants to come over and like help you with an exercise or show you how to do
something. Spot you on the bench.
Let me show you how to do that. Bro. Yeah, can I show you how to do that? And you need a little bit of support here on your back. Don't touch me.
Yeah,
no,
don't come near me, Mr. Junk out in the tights guy. Yeah. No, thank you.
Headphones are on loud.
Are they?
To basically send the message, stay away from me.
I'm sad today. I don't know though. Like, well, first of all, you were right.
About what?
Garrett Cole got 9 years.
I did say that.
You said that you had seen it. That was the rumor, and I thought no way any club would be dumb enough to go 9 years after what Pujols had.
Right.
And wouldn't Cabrera's contract that long, too, or close to it?
Miggy's got a really bad deal with the Tigers. I'm not sure how long it was, but it was longer than it should have been.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a chance you have to take, though, and the Yankees had to take, I guess. It just seems silly that you would go longer than seven. And my thought, and I don't know where you guys fall on this, but at first I was like, I was upset, where I was like, well, of course he would go to the Yankees. That's the worst possible scenario, right? But then I thought, actually, the worst possible scenario would have been going to the Angels. That would have been the worst possible scenario, because then you got to see him in the division all year.
I disagree.
But it'd be if the team is not doing as well as the Astros, it'd be easier to swallow, right?
Yeah, I disagree. They'd have to crawl out of too many bad contracts. We mentioned Pujols. Upton's another deal. That, you know, their pitching staff around him has been like, they keep trying to do the plunk in place guys on 1 year deals, the Wade Miley type deals that don't work out for them. And I just.
But now you've got Mike Trout. You've got Garrett Cole on a team in the division. I wouldn't want to face that team. A lot. And especially if he's signed for 7 to 9 years. You're going to see him for the next decade?
It's fine.
No,
Once every 5 days, I'd rather see him with the Angels than I would with a team that's loaded around him with a pitching staff that now vaults itself into probably being the best staff in the American League.
By far.
And will compete with the Nationals.
They're the best
for the best rotation in baseball.
Yeah.
And with an offensive lineup that literally can mirror the Astros for the most part. And Mark Teixeira said it this morning on ESPN where he said, look, on paper, last year, head to toe, start to finish, just the lineup alone said the Astros should have run away with it. And then when you look at their rotation, it should have been that much better. But because you don't play the game on paper, it didn't happen that way. But looking at that same scenario with the Yankees this year, they are the front runners now, clearly, because of all the talent they have around him.
Not only that, but when you think about the fact that what the Yankees did this past year and how many injuries they had while doing it, if they're healthy next year, I don't see any way that they just don't absolutely run away with the American League.
I'm completely with you because everybody forgets about the young. Yeah, they forget about the young kid that got hurt at third base. That was an all-star caliber talent, young kid that sat out. But then you got Gleyber Torres and you got Judge, and they're so loaded that they let Didi Gregorius just go.
Yeah.
So that tells you Gary Sanchez. I mean, all the bats that they have.
Even though Sanchez is a liability behind the plate,
but
his bat is ridiculous.
Yeah. So, you know, even if you would at some point move Gary Sanchez to DH and find a different catcher, I mean, and it's New York. So they have unlimited resources financially. They're going to add the right guys if they need to. So it's the worst case scenario, in my opinion, for the Astros.
Yeah. And then the other thing I saw was, you know, they're expanding the rosters to 26 next year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Astros looking to add a third catcher.
Well, you better get the other two back.
I was going to say, you better get one before you add a third.
Yeah, get the two guys that are free first.
That 26th spot on the roster is either going to be an extra arm or a third catcher.
Well, they traded for, the third catcher can be the guy they traded for from Oakland. But, you know, at the worst case scenario, with as quickly as catchers are coming off the market and being traded for, you better lock up the two guys you had last year or at least one of them so you know who your frontline catcher is going to be while you contemplate who adding a third catcher.
Yeah. They. I'm hoping these winter meetings produce something of significance for that position.
So I here's the thing. I mean, in the middle of the night, I'm feeding Madison. It's like 1 a.m. So I see the breaking news. Cole signs. I see the numbers. And at a certain point, you know that the SportsCenter just keeps rerunning. So I go over to MLB Network. And what was more surprising to me than people talking about the Cole deal was the big graphic at the bottom of the screen said, most likely to be traded next in Major League Baseball, someone who didn't even register with me, or Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
And I went, uh-oh. So not only do you lose, which was inevitable, you're going to lose Gerrit Cole for the most part anyway, but now all of a sudden Carlos Correa is top of mind with so many teams trying to acquire a franchise-type shortstop, and the rumors start flying out. Hey, Correa and Josh Reddick to the Reds or other options that might be out there, and it's like, wow, what's going on?
Well, you're going to have to probably move both of them at the same time, and that's the incentive to move Reddick. And his contract is to get Correa and his one extra year. Because he'll get $7.5 million in arbitration is the projection. Mm-hmm. And then next year he has one more year of arbitration. And then he's a unrestricted free agent. So you've got 2 more years of team control with Carlos Correa. You've got, obviously, Reddick's salary. So I imagine that a package deal with the two makes the most sense for the Astros if they're going to make that move. The weird thing is when I saw Ken Rosenthal's report on that, or what I did see of it is, it's not that this is a serious thing. It's just that the Astros have considered it.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's just taken on this life of its own just because they said they've considered it. You've got to make a decision somewhere. And the fact that this comes out is, I think it's even worse for the Astros now because there's no way Carlos Correa is an Astro when he's an unrestricted free agent. I just don't think he comes back.
No, there's not. And look, now that he's married and she's super thirsty for her own career and attention, and we've seen that with social media where every time it's something involving him, she's the one making the announcements. She's the one that's trying to get the attention. You know that Daniela and Carlos are big city kind of people in the way they want to continue with their careers as they move forward. and it just doesn't seem like Houston has the skill set to fit what they need, like a New York, like a Los Angeles, even a Chicago. So when you look at that, all things being considered, and like you said, when you start moving down the list of how many more years of team control and arbitration before he really becomes free, his value becomes less and less because teams trading for him, especially small market teams, go, yeah, I don't know if we're going to give up too much because we know we're going to lose him when he becomes a free agent anyway, and we can't pay him what he wants. So if you can move him now for the right deal, I totally understand it. Now, the one that I would absolutely love to see that would rock the baseball world and the one factor that's going to prevent
trading
it from happening.
Trade him for Garrett Cole.
Nope.
No.
Trade him so that you can take the money that you would have eventually had to pay him and you give it to Anthony Rendon, you move Bregman to shortstop, and you make this team just maybe better than they were in the last couple of years. The big look, and if you go back to the quotes that Rendon said on the field during the World Series and then after it, he goes, if I can't play for my hometown team, my favorite team, the next best thing would be at least I get to play here for another team and win a World Series title. But I really firmly believe he lives here in the offseason. He loves Houston. I really firmly believe he wants to play here.
The way that the whole rumor thing started was because they asked Luno about another big move for the Astros, and the Astros said, look, we don't have the money. If we're going to make another big move, it's going to require us moving somebody like a Carlos Correa, and then obviously packaging Reddick with that.
Sure.
But that's where it kind of started from.
Well, and then I said it on this show a month ago, and you shot it down because you said financially they just can't do that.
What?
I had thrown out Rendon going to the Astros. I didn't hear any rumors lately. But if that is a rumor, I'm happy that maybe it's out there again.
Well, they're just talking about a big deal, not necessarily Rendon.
I would love to
Rendon.
See that happen. And I think, you know, he works out with Springer here in the offseason.
But they don't have the money as is, yes.
Right.
But what you're saying is if they move Correa and Reddick,
then instead of looking to get that other arm back in here to try and strengthen the rotation, bring in him, and I'll tell you what.
Here's why I don't think that's going to happen, though, Joel. I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
And I hate that you're always the black cloud, but I love it because it creates the back and forth that we need. But the thing that I would say is, I threw it out to Lance before the show, and he said, you know what? He goes, the one thing I didn't realize when I said, look, Correa can't stay healthy anyway, so you move him, and he wants the big deal. He said he did the numbers. He's on parallel with Will Fuller in terms of availability versus injury.
Yeah.
So you do move him. But, I mean, I know you're right. Financially, it would be tough. I just would love to see it.
Well, here's the thing. Another reason why they couldn't do a Rendon deal, I don't think. The reason you're moving Correa is because you're going to pay Springer. It's one or the other. You can't have both. So you're either going to pay George Springer or you're going to pay Carlos Correa. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Who's the straw that stirs the drink? It's George Springer.
Yeah,
and if the Astros had to choose, I think they choose 9 times out of 10, they choose George Springer because he's healthier, even though he does get hurt, but it's because the way he plays.
Right.
But he's more reliable. I mean, and I think right now his production
as a
major league player, his production has been better than Correa.
Sure,
now, yeah.
He's older, but like you said, if he doesn't get hurt this year playing his ass off, he's an MVP candidate.
But going back to your point, if you trade Reddick and Correa and you sign Rendon, you can't sign Springer. You can't spend that 20 plus on Rendon and then still expect to have money for George Springer.
And if Rendon doesn't give you a discount, he's looking at 30 plus.
And so you would still bring in somebody, and it would probably be a mid-level star like a Brantley, you know, but a 15 mil or something like that. That way you can pay Springer, but you can't do both.
Yeah.
You can't do both. Well, you would just keep Correa if that were the case.
Exactly. Well, so we've got plenty to talk about Astros-wise and otherwise, but obviously there's a whole lot that happened overnight that has been top of mind now with Houston sports fans, and we'll get to all that. It's a Way Back Wednesday as well, so in honor of Garrett Cole leaving, we decided instead of going with heartbreak, we went with greed because he got $324 million for 9 years to leave Houston. So I'll go hour number one, Nick, and then you guys will fill in the rest as we do songs pre-2009 about being greedy, money hungry, whatever. But we're just getting started. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Let us know your thoughts on Garrett Cole, trading Carlos Correa, and other things. Of course, you can reach us on Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting it rolling on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Splendid day in the big city. Sun is shining, as Barry mentioned, a little crispness to the air. Nick actually going plain white tea on me today. Feeling
it's
it.
You.
It's a lot hotter in the control room than normal.
Is it?
Yeah, so I took off my sweater.
Is it hot in there, or is it just you, huh, buddy? What?
No, it's just extremely hot. I don't know if they did something today.
You want me to follow up on that, or you want me to just leave that where it lies right now?
Just leave it where it lies.
Okay.
Wait, was it a dad joke?
No, I was going to give you full credit.
And they're flexing?
No, yeah, Nick's feeling good today, I bet you.
Why?
Yeah, he just, you know.
Oh, I know what he's talking about.
You can't be doing inside jokes on the air.
I can. That's why Nick's feeling good. Might be a little bit toasty in there because he's on a roll right now.
You know.
Saw Nick entertaining a beautiful young lady yesterday, and I thought, well.
You were dancing for her?
I was not.
Well, what is entertaining?
It was just a buddy that I.
Just, you know.
Where?
Catching
where
up with them after the show.
He just ran into her in the parking lot.
I ran into them in the parking lot as they were getting ready to saunter off somewhere, and I thought, Nicholas, well done, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so props to Nick and the young lady. So there you go. Props to them. Fine-looking couple.
Could she see?
I don't know. She didn't have sunglasses on, so I would have said she actually addressed me when I said hello.
Well, I would think so. Going ahead and go.
I give her a little gummy every time. I said, just take a little small bite of this every time you see me. I look way better in person.
That's the initial stages of a crime, but okay. That's fine. I think that's how it begins in most cases. Take a little piece of this. Here, have a little bit more. Here, have the whole thing. Here.
Nice job, Nick Cosby.
Yeah.
I've already tried to do that to Barry, not for Cosby reasons, just to get rid of him, but.
Yeah, exactly.
Nick meets her and goes, I would like to talk to you about the gummies. And there you go from there. But yeah, no, kudos to Nick, so.
Joel put your business out there.
There wasn't any bad detail at all, right? Like, that was just giving him some props.
I don't know what's worse. Oh, God. That he put your business out there or that he surprised you had a woman?
I'm not surprised.
I'm not really
I wasn't
sure.
surprised at all.
How do you know he was surprised
yeah,
I had
how
a woman?
Yeah, surprised voice, at all.
Because he was like, Nick had a woman?
Is that your surprise tone? I've never known.
You know it's not.
Nick had a woman.
You know it's not. You know it's not at all. And you know that based on how much crap you get from people that remain nameless around here and how much you talk about, like, shall we say, more wide boned females.
All this stuttering.
You were doing great.
Dig out of this hole.
Since when have we been afraid to use the word fat? Are we trying to be better? Are we trying to grow out of that?
Why can't you say fat girls?
Because
he's being nice about it.
But yeah, and also Nick didn't refer to him as that. He put him as hefty Latinas.
I don't think he ever said that.
When I first said it, I said
he did.
I said it lightly, like hefty and plus size is what it is.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was, plus size.
He said hefty, too. It's more than a trash bag, buddy.
Did you?
Yeah.
You used hefty?
He just admitted
both of those words. But after that, I was like, all right, I guess we're using the word fat. So we did that for like 2.5 years straight.
Yeah, just won't die, will it?
Oh, well, there you go. So that didn't go the direction that I had planned in trying to give Nick some props. But hey, we can just,
You know, you did sound a little surprised, so.
Nope. No, it's just a buddy of mine. Shout out to Nejwa. That's her name. She's a buddy of mine.
Can we look up her Instagram?
You probably won't find it, but you can try.
And if you do, I didn't put any of that business
out
there.
No, I mean,
that's all the information you're going to get is her first name. Go ahead.
Oh, really?
Pull it up on the Instagram.
Yeah, good luck spelling that on your own.
I know.
Johnny come spell lately. Go ahead, put that on Twitter. Yeah, sound it out. Phonetics.
Nah.
Hooked on Phonetics with Barry Laminick.
Damn it. Yeah, never mind.
So the other thing that, Barry, I'll throw your way, that Nick and I partook in a little discussion with Lance prior to this show.
Okay.
But Lance asked me the question that created a pretty good discussion. And I think you're on this too, but we get these emails about they want us to vote for the Houston Sports Awards.
Oh, I didn't get that email.
Well,
that they didn't want me to be involved.
So Patty Smith, who heads
up... Big fan of mine, by the way.
Yeah, she loves
me a lot.
She, of the longtime sideline reporter for Astros and Rockets and Texans and in-stadium and whatever. She now kind of heads up the Houston Sports Awards. So she had texted me on Friday and said, look, I need your nominations. And I was like, come on, I'm driving to Beaumont. She's like, no, please. I said, all right, I'll get it done. So she sent me the ballot again. I started looking at it, and the question that kind of threw me for a loop this year was the best front office or general manager in Houston sports.
You brought this up.
Yeah.
And you said, and I Bill said, O'Brien because said, of the cheating.
Yeah, but then I thought about it. But Bill O'Brien, and especially now the way everything lies, I'm not sure. But if you just had to choose two, if you eliminated O'Brien, who has done more, done a better job, and who do you think is better, Luno or Daryl Morey?
I think it's hands down Jeff Luno.
I said that too, and Lance fought it.
How? How do you fight that? He's, two World Series appearances in 3 years?
Yeah, but he fought
it. Nobody's touching that.
He fought it in the fact that the way Daryl has always made the big deal. He's you know, just like Westbrook or Chris Paul. And I said, look, I can fight a lot of that with stuff that I know on the inside in terms of what's fallen into his lap. And what? Because I'm with you. I said Luno, and I said more so than anything else, because he did make a big move in getting Greinke. He was great at predicting the future and knowing what was coming down the pike and knowing Gerrit Cole was going to leave by being able to pull off a move for Gerrit Cole's replacement in Zach Greinke. But I'm just saying, the problem I have with Daryl is the square peg round hole in the supporting cast. He basically has lucked out in the past couple of years in making this team head and shoulders better than they would have been with the way he constructed it by the buyout market of Kenneth Faried and Austin Rivers and guys like that. And they have to choose Houston before he chooses them.
But that is part of it, though.
It is part. Fine. That's part of it. I think Luno has been more forward-thinking, advanced, and he's more capable of filling the holes that he has in his team on the fly and or in the future without having to basically do the square peg round hole thing.
Well, a couple things. One, you can make all the big deals you want, but if they don't translate into you getting to a championship, it doesn't matter. So, yeah, kudos for bringing in big names that do nothing in the playoffs.
Well, Chris Paul's they got hamstrung by a hamstring, or a lot of people would say they would have gotten there.
Okay, I mean, the Astros suffer injuries all the time. So, I mean, you can make the moves, but if they don't translate into results, how do you not give it to Jeff Luno when he built a roster over not just the long haul when they were 100 lost teams, but now reconstructing it after a World Series and then falling off, getting back to the World Series again. As you said, you know, making the move getting out in front of Gerrit Cole, mm-hmm. leaving, but not just that, getting Gerrit Cole in the first place and turning him into what he is, recognizing sure. what Gerrit Cole's
Charlie
potential
Morton.
Is, recognizing Charlie Morton's potential, getting a Michael Brantley who ends up being one of the best hitters in the American League. Those are all moves that translated into results that got them to a World Series. Daryl Morey can't say that.
I said, too, Marwin leaves, but Diaz comes in. He's the perfect replacement. Plays multiple positions, is a good enough stick, can do a lot of things for you. And I don't think he gets enough credit for that. I also don't think he gets enough credit for rebuilding a farm system that was completely depleted.
That's what I'm saying. You went from a 100 loss team to where they are now. You think about what Daryl Morey doesn't have to deal with. He doesn't have to deal with a minor league system. He does have a team, but they use that just to hide guys. They're not using it as development necessarily in the NBA. Once in a while, you get one or two guys a year, but not like in baseball. It's not even close. And for the mere fact that Yordan Alvarez was recognized, he was traded for, he was developed,
well,
and then this is too easy.
To me, it was too easy. Lance was, and not that Lance was picking a side definitively, but he had a lot of support for Daryl Morey, and he said, he goes, you guys should bring it up on the show because I'd be interested to see how everybody else thinks. And I said, I don't know how, me personally, I don't know how you don't pick Jeff Luno, but I mean, there's some Rockets honks that still think that Daryl's done enough and continues to do enough that he should be considered the best GM in the city.
Now, one case that I would make for Daryl Morey is on the broadcast the other day when they were playing the Spurs. They talked about the fact that the Spurs had had a losing record for 85 different days over the last decade or something like that.
Or more.
And the second team on that list was the Rockets, and it was like 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you how dominant the Spurs were. But the fact that this team has consistently had a winning record or been winning is great. And it speaks to what Daryl has been able to do year in and year out, cobbling together rosters with big names and buyout, you know, guys and all that. But at the end of the day, He hasn't taken this team to a championship in two of the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. Or to the title game. That's fine. Title series.
That's fine. There's some more stuff that we could throw into that, but if there's something you want to add to it, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Hit us up on Twitter if you would like to do it that way. But we're here till 4. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Battling through a beautiful interaction right before we came back on the air between Barry and myself. Nick, I want to make sure that you're alive and kicking. Want you involved as much as possible,
I am,
sir.
I am.
Yeah, do we, though?
I am. Yeah. I'm alive and well.
So, El Jefe says, in response to the general manager conversation, damn, Lance is high as...
AF? Know, he's high AF?
Yeah. So I guess not everybody saw the discussion as a good one between Lance, myself, and...
No, it seems pretty one-sided. I don't see how you could make the case otherwise.
I think, I understand that people, for one reason or another, have reasons to take shots at Darryl. But overall, he's put you in a position year in and year out where maybe you don't, as you said, win the championship. But you're in a better position year in and year out than you were if he wouldn't be here. Because most general managers wouldn't be willing to take the risk of taking on a Chris Paul, regardless of how long he made the extension of the contract. Or being able to pull off a deal with the resources to get him. I know his shortcomings, so I know some of the things in the past that I could bring up. But I'm saying if you're looking for positives for Darryl, he was able to upgrade your squad, not only to get Chris Paul in the first place, but then when everybody said Chris Paul's going to be untradeable and there's no way any team's going to take him, he found a way to orchestrate a deal to where he brought back a younger and talented Russell Westbrook in exchange for Chris Paul and, again, gave you a chance to be in the conversation for a title. You're right. They haven't won one. They haven't even gotten to one where they really could at least put that on their checklist on a resume. But I don't want to discount the fact that he did what they said couldn't be done in terms of trading Chris Paul. He's put these two guys together. Now, again, it still remains to be seen if it's going to work. But he gave you a chance to be in the conversation. Whereas if you just kept Chris Paul and went into this year, there's not anybody that was going to be saying, well, the Rockets are going to be up there with the Clippers and Lakers with a chance to win.
No doubt.
Okay.
And that'll be good for fourth in the West in the first round or second round exit.
And he looks good, too. I mean, he's been taking care of himself. So,
you are such with a that being dick. Said, you are such a dick. Why are you going to bring
because
that
I
up?
Because I know him personally and because I know that, you know, he just...
you got to be like, there's certain ways and when that, he sweats, gravy comes out. Yeah. But, you know, other than that, Brown it's okay. It See? So, and you wonder, you know, this our show has a bad reputation because of that.
I love it. Now, let me bring this up to your attention, too.
No, the real quick. Real quick, before we move off, you were going to move off that topic?
Yeah.
No. Somebody texted and said, listen, this is very easy. Daryl Morey fights for freedom. That Astros guy is a cheater. So,
well,
the cheating thing has nothing to do with it.
Now, that's you and I were talking during the break. Regardless of the positives for Luno, the big red X right now is this entire cheating scandal. How much did he know? How much was he involved? If this was part of his deal that he okayed, if the emails that went to the scouts to try and look into how they could do this better and chart it more, and he was behind all of it, then that should be something that's a huge detriment that takes him back a notch. That makes this more of an open discussion. Because as good as he's been in so many areas, if this comes to fruition and is true, what if it costs you your manager for a suspension for a portion, if not all of the year? What if he himself gets his wrist slapped and he's out of the mix for a while? I mean, it's a really bad look because you've basically said the 2017 championship has an asterisk next to it, and you're the guy that orchestrated all of this. that there's where you start to even the playing field.
I want you to get all of the cheating stuff out of the way before I respond.
Throw it out there. Go ahead.
Well, because at the end of the day, did the cheating have an effect on bringing in Gerrit Cole? Did the cheating have an effect on bringing in Charlie Morton and making him what he was? I mean, at the end of the day, was Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve going to be MVP candidates regardless of the cheating? Yes. Is Carlos Correa and George Springer as good as they are regardless of the cheating? Yes. The cheating, and the funny thing is that they keep bringing that one video up with Evan Gattis. You know they went 3-up, 3-down in that inning, right?
Yeah.
That's the hilarious thing about it.
The fact that they had to play road games, too, was a big deal.
Yeah. They had 81 road. They were a better road team than a home team in 2017. They had a better record on the road where they couldn't cheat than they did at home. So a lot of this is much ado about nothing in my eyes. Are they cheaters? Yes. So are the Yankees. So are the Red Sox. So is just about every other team
in sports, right? Sports
and baseball for sure. And yeah, or in Boston, at least.
True.
But at the end of the day, these players still the Verlander deal at the last minute. I mean, none of that has to do with cheating. That has to do with the GM getting his business done.
And I'm with you, right? So I'm with you all along. I was, and I think Nick was too. In the middle of this discussion, we all said Luno was the guy. Again, Lance, not to say that he definitively was going to say he would go side with Daryl, but he was giving his best arguments to support Daryl. At the end of the day, it's the difference between cheating and tweeting. Because you got Luno cheating and Daryl tweeting on Hong Kong and a whole bunch of stuff in between. But it's at least a discussion worth having.
I felt like he was discrediting Luno more than giving credit to Maury, though.
That's a good point.
I think he was talking about what he really should not get credit for while being a general manager for the Astros. Like some of the players that didn't turn out because of injury. What were some of the names that we threw out there, like in terms of pitching? You were giving him credit. You were saying Josh James.
You look at Josh James, the fact that he took the flyer on Wade Miley, and obviously it didn't
Miley
work out at the end of the year.
Out,
but 1 year, $5 million, and he ate up innings and had a winning record for most of the season. He did what you needed him to do at a very cheap price. You know, for every time that you say a Martez didn't work out, or a Whitley struggling, or the different prospects each year that are the top of the charts for pitching and prospects, you replace them with guys like you didn't see Urquidy coming, and he orchestrated a deal that brought him to the organization. Two Tommy John surgeries later, dude's been really, really good. Framber Valdez. I mean, you can go some of the smaller names that we didn't see coming. Cionel Perez. Josh James's development, even though he's not there yet, he's got a big arm. And these are guys that he can put his name to say he was responsible. And the big one I threw at Lance was what you said, which was from the standpoint of Jordan Alvarez, he's not getting enough credit for pulling what seemed to be just a throwaway deal so that the Dodgers could get Fields. Turns out to be what could be a franchise-changing player for you.
Yeah. Now, a couple things, too, in that regard. Luno doesn't have to work under a salary cap. He does have the luxury tax, but it's not a requirement that you stay under it. Mm-hmm. You just have to pay more money. So you may be, you know, you may be limited by your owner, but that's a front office decision and not a hard and fast limit, right? Like in basketball, you do have the salary cap, and you do have – I mean, you can go over it as well. But you're trying to maneuver around that as best as possible. Now, that also being said, you only have to really get 2 out of 12 stars in basketball. You got to field a 25-man roster and be right way more than you're wrong in baseball than you do in basketball.
But the 2 out of 12-man stars, that just happened recently because of Adam Silver and what he's trying to do with
and the Warriors.
It used to be a 3-star league. Yeah, if you don't have 3 stars, you're probably not going to win a championship.
Yeah, if you're not a super team, you're SOL until Durant left.
That was the challenge all the way up until basically last season.
Right, but what I'm saying is you only have to fill 12 spots, and only 2 or 3 of those have to be good.
That's fair.
Really
yeah.
good.
At the very minimum, yeah.
Yeah, you do that in baseball, you get it right 3 times, you're going to be an awful team.
Yeah.
So you've got to be a lot better at managing a much bigger roster, which is also, hey, in football, you have 52. You got to be right a lot in football, too. So there's different scenarios, but in basketball, you don't have to, you know, it's just like in the draft. That's why the top 3 or 4 in the draft is really all that matters, because that's all that's really going to have a material effect on a team. After that, there's obviously differences in the sports, but I don't see how you can discredit in any way, shape, or form what Jeff Luno has done. Cheating or not, he still has to pull all those moves off to put them in that position.
I am totally with you.
But I think Lance is either on crack, or Daryl Morey texted him and said, hey, go bring this up, make me look good.
Or I won't come on your show anymore.
Or play in your fantasy league.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that to Lance, though, because he's in a grumpy mood.
Or eat where you eat.
Was he grumpy today?
No, he was good.
Oh, he was?
We were good the whole time, right, Nick?
Okay.
Yeah. And I talked to him after
cool
that.
To me.
Yeah, we had some good discussions today.
Because he's in the middle of player.
Oh, yeah, he's doing evals right
and
now.
And that's when he's... Yeah. I mean, he was nice to me when I bumped into him in the hall yesterday, but normally he'll be a little grumpier this time of year.
No, so. He was good.
Oh, good.
All right, so we're rolling through hour number one, three-hour show. Just kicking it around a little bit. If you want to join the discussion, 713-780-3776. Text that number. Also, you can call in and be a part of the show that way, or you can hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 975. It ain't my time asking.
I heard him say. Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 975 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Already a spirited first hour of the three-hour extravaganza. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's the big show! Bringing that back.
Do it.
We resemble that remark.
I didn't know it left.
Well, I just haven't used it in a while. You know, people normally point these things out to me. Like, I haven't used the whole 90 in the windshield, 90 in the rear view thing. They got into that. They wanted to hear more of that. I was like, you know, when the peeps speak, we try and help unless it's just stupid or they call and it's stupid. So first hour's been good. Don't jinx it, right?
Absolutely not.
That's the way I look at it.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Man, I've been here all day.
Have you?
Yeah, I was invited to join the sales meeting today. So as a spokesperson for just not just me, the whole show, I did that. And then I was like, well, it doesn't make any sense to drive all the way back home to come all the way back.
You best believe I'm leaving because I got to do it next week.
Yeah.
And I'm leaving.
You're going to drive back home?
No, I'll go get my haircut and then come back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that.
So what time did you meet? 9:30?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be done by 10. I'm going to go get my haircut, eat, and then I'll come back. I'm not. And then, by the way, I'm not speaking for the show. I'm just going to speak for me. I'm not speaking for y'all.
That's like, just any day.
I know Joel. Let's be real. Joel said he spoke for the show. There's no way.
You're going to speak for yourself instead of us any day that ends in a Y. Nick can verify if he hasn't already that I spoke for us, not just me.
No
way.
He
told me. I mean, I wasn't in the
meeting.
And
that's what he told you.
No, right. Look, I won't say another word. You can go talk to anyone that was in that meeting.
I would believe. I would ask. I assumed you were telling the truth. Yep. I didn't
assumed.
So you don't have the doubt and the shadiness of the man to my right.
That's right.
So
I don't trust nobody.
I kind of have that in me sometimes.
I don't trust this guy. I don't trust anybody. Never trust. By the way, I don't trust this person that texted. It might be too soon, but I think Joel is winning way back Wednesday.
Oh,
that person's blocked.
Slam dunk. So, and here's another interesting thing. So I did a couple videos for Sports Map yesterday, and one of them was just the ramifications of the Yankees if they could be if it's possible to be somewhat financially tied up in too big of a deal for Gerrit Cole. They've changed their ways recently in which they haven't been on spending sprees. Then when Jacoby Ellsbury left, the fact that instead of just letting him walk and picking up the last year of his deal, they tried to keep it and renege on the deal and say that he went to his own doctor at some point and that therefore it voided the contract and tried to cheaply save the money. So there was a lot of people that had a lot of quality feedback. And then there was some ass clown that decided to tag freezing cold takes.
On you?
Yeah, on me and on the video and tagged me in the video. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go off on this a-hole. And then I had it ready to go and I didn't press send like three different times. And lo and behold, the suspects were fantastic. Jumped in and was like taking shots and had some just all world responses. By the way, P. Randizzle is like next to you in terms of don't mess with him on social media. Like if you want someone that's going to absolutely annihilate you quickly and just put you to bed, P. Randizzle's that guy. So, but then I went back and looked at the thread and P. Randizzle and Dr. Dre had a conversation that they were adamant that they thought it was a bot for not just 790. And they were saying why the tendencies are there that it was a bot, but it would be a bot for our biggest fan.
Oh, yeah. AC?
And I was like, so you telling me the AC's turned up high?
Clanton's got a bot, huh?
And nice. So they were going back and forth. I was like, that's interesting. I didn't know. And they're like, yeah, if you look for this or if you say something to them and they don't respond quickly and this, that, and the other thing. And then again, and I'm like.
So a burner account. Really,
yeah, burner account is what they were referring to. Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, interesting.
Because the bots are the ones that we get after a Rockets game where they're like, hey,
yes,
Joel.
Yes.
Hey, Barry. It's a Rockets win. James Harden goes for 30. Hashtag run is one. Suck it. All right. Now, but like a burner account, I could see that. I could definitely see him having a burner account.
Yeah.
Here's what I did. So that freezing cold takes thing.
Yeah.
In this business, in what we do, we're going to have takes that are bad. We're going to have takes that are good. We're going to have takes that come to fruition. We're going to have takes that in hindsight look terrible. And so inevitably, you're going to get tagged on those. So what I did is I just blocked freezing cold takes. So when someone wants to tag me on that, they can't see it. So you could tag freezing cold takes on my take all you want. They can't see it. So suck it, public. How's that feel? Yeah, I'll never be exposed for my stupid takes because
they happen on a daily basis.
Well, no, we just need to go to break. That wasn't
nice. No, you can't do that.
That wasn't very nice.
Well, it's just like not being nice and making it all about you instead of a show-wide thing with the sales department.
You know I'm going to go in there.
I don't know that because I don't trust anybody because you just taught me that. So therefore, now I've turned over a new leaf and my new leaf says, no, I'm not believing that for one second.
So you're literally, so I converted you in one segment. Now you want to listen to me.
I think you're secretly Hannibal on the A-team. I think you're secretly.
Hannibal?
Yeah.
On the A-team?
Yeah. Wasn't Hannibal one of the characters on Mr. T's A-Team?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why was he?
I think we're just going to call you Hannibal because you're on the A-Team.
Oh, you think I'm on his team.
Or their team because they both start with an A. Although the other one we both like.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe it's possible. I don't trust you anymore.
Okay.
See what you've done now? You've completely
you're breaking up with
you've
me.
You've completely just kiboshed the good mojo we've had in the last year or so, and okay. Then now you're just crapping all over.
Now is the time you're going to start believing me. At 1:53 on a Wednesday, you're like everything he says. I believe now. All of a sudden,
okay. I mean, I've always believed Nick, but now I'm formulating opinions of my own, and they seem to be adding up and being parallel.
Okay.
That's I haven't even been invited to a sales meeting to include
you should.
Not include
and you should
you.
Have to get your happy ass up that early and partake.
It ain't that early. 9:30 is not that early.
I thought it was 9. I was here before 9.
Well, that's your
The meeting itself
fault.
Starts at 9. They bring the guest speaker in at 9:30.
Yeah, well, that's your dumbass fault for coming in there.
I'm not going to deny that. As much as I'd like to, that's on me.
I'll be here at 9:15.
So believe me, the rush of Joel Blank content on Sports Map is going to go way up because
you were
I
early?
Was bored in here early. So I just was like, I might as well.
Did you, by the way, I saw your, I didn't get to watch it yet, but did you do a video about why the Patriots cheating? It might be good news for the Astros.
Could be good, could be bad, yeah, but I gave both sides of it.
Okay.
I did it
was
before.
Like, the damn reason it, Joel.
Well, that's the reason why I brought it up on the show yesterday.
So you could
formulate
your opinion?
Because I already did it. It was top of mind. I was like, well, might as well throw it out there for the guys.
Well, you got to warn me because I was like, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. I didn't know you did a video on it.
Yeah, but
I wouldn't have said that.
But
I would have just been like,
I give the peeps the ability to go either way and make a decision. That's fine.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Well, I also learned because, as you taught me, when you do it and take a very, very staunch opinion one side or the other, the comment section is enough to drive you to want to kill someone.
Oh, yes.
Because they don't care. And here's the thing. Whether they can read or not, half the time, most of the people just read the headline
and then
just start firing away.
So it's not necessarily that you were 100% on board with the fact that the Patriots getting caught cheating could be a good thing for the Astros. You were just saying why
it might benefit the Astros because now it's one as a distraction. It shows you it's been going on in other sports. It's more of a common thing than you think. And then I give the negatives as well. So that's why I'm not going to give away the whole video. But yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. So if you want to see the whole thing, go to sportsmap.com.
Please do. Yeah, there's two up there right now. There's a Garrett Cole feedback one and there's this one.
Okay.
Nicholas, my hour number one now is concluded. Who is hour number two?
I will take hour number two.
Nick, hour number two, Barry, hour number three. It's a way back Wednesday. Songs pre-2009 about greed. Any other adjectives?
Greediness and that's it, really. Just wanting money and
money grubbingly.
Yeah.
Leaving your team at the altar to join the evil empire.
Did you hear who won Times Person of the Year?
No. Megan Rapinoe won Sports Illustrated.
Yes, I did not hear of the year. Yeah. We'll talk about that on the other side.
There you have it. Hour number two right around the corner. 3-hour show, so you got plenty of time to join us. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Oh, no. Just dance if you want up in the Holy Ghost train. If
you stop, I'm going to put them killer ants in your pants. G'day. Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.